Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome, and thanks for joining me for this episode of Stray Thoughts. I'm Damien Robb, writer, podcaster, and educator, and on this podcast, I try to cobble together some stray thoughts into messy but meaningful essays. It's a kind of audio blog, so much so that you can also read the episodes and see any associated images by going to damienrobb.com/stray thoughts. So let's do it. Let's share some stray thoughts. And for this one, I want to talk about travel, working remotely, and writing retreats. At the end of this week, a few days into May, I will be arriving bedecked in the ruffled appearance and aroma of someone who has spent the past 30 hours sitting in an enclosed space with a few hundred other people into the apartment of my twin brother and sister-in-law. I will give them both big, tight hugs before pulling my now toothy 2-year-old nephew off of the floor and into my arms and bestow upon him a flurry of kisses he may or may not want. I can't wait. Their apartment resides in the 22nd district on Vienna's outer edges. I live in inner city Melbourne, hence the 30-hour trip to get there. While this distance is big, we're lucky enough to broach it quite easily, usually through satellites and routers and a whole other bunch of technology I don't really understand, so that every fortnight we sit across from each other virtually and have a bit of a lovely chat. But as blessed as we are to live in the future where global communication is literally as easy as pressing a button, it does lack that tactile edge. It's missing the physical. And more than that, it's missing the hangout nature you only get from, well, hanging out together. And so for about the past decade, minus a few years where this virus you might have heard of decides to act like a real drama queen, we've visited them whenever finances and work would allow. These visits aren't purely to hang out, though. One, it costs a lot of money to get to Europe from Australia, and two, Europe has a whole bunch to see and do, and so in addition to the hugs and the kisses and the hanging out, we usually pick some beautiful places, ideally a train ride away, and have ourselves a bit of a wander and a look around. While I do, of course, sometimes wish for the ease and comfort of having my brother and his family in the same country or city or suburb as me, I would be lying if I didn't also say I do enjoy the perks of having a family member live on the other side of the world. I have access and an understanding of a culture different from my own and now feel a familial connection to it. My world and life is bigger because of this, forcibly unsheltered in the best possible way. Also, I have a place to stay whenever I visit Vienna, which is no bad thing. On previous trips, we, my wife Holly and I, have done many great things. We have walked over the tips of the Alps, witnessed John, my brother, and Alex, his wife, get married, crunched our way through ice and snow-covered streets in Prague, swam in breath-stealingly cold mountain lakes, visited a converted airport, now a park, in Berlin, only to find its sky full of kites of every size and colour imaginable, thanks to some fortunate timing and a kite festival, drank dark and delicious beers in Irish pubs while a collection of musicians rattled out some entertaining and enthralling toe-tapping folk music, passed under the branches of the Black Forest, strolled through Christmas markets, watched the rain fall from the windows of a tiny home on the island of Skye, eaten pork knuckles at the Prater as big as our heads, and hung out and read books in John and Alex's various apartments as the smell of cooking food wafted through the air, relaxed and comfortable and at peace. To say these trips are incredible and exceptional experiences, would still be leaving so much unsaid. This next one, though, is a little bit different. While it'll still contain visits and travel, it'll also contain work. One of the less expected benefits to a global pandemic was, I think, a worldwide shake-up to the expectations of workers and their relationship to the office-based 9-to-5. It really helped ask the question of, in a future where I can talk to my family in Vienna with a click of a button, where the cloud means we can jump on any computer with access to the internet and find our whole desktop and files waiting for us, where communication can happen in an endless assortment of digital ways, arguably too many, then why are we so tied to being in a specific location at a specific time to work? There are, of course, jobs that require this specificity, that are location-based and have need of a physical meeting of people in order to trade goods or services. But for the ever-increasing number that aren't and that have been proven to be flexible on these fronts, it only makes sense to me that that flexibility is embraced and used to make all our lives that little bit easier and gratifying, to increase the pertinence of that adage about working to live, and not the other way around. For me, presently, I have to admit, this is very easy to do. That hasn't always been true, but this year, I am nothing if not flexible. I am my own boss, my wife, my financier and patron, and my work is to write as much as I can about whatever I want. I have never been happier. As for Holly, she fortunately works for a business that has mostly embraced the flexibility of post-pandemic working life. She works from home 3 days a week, and when she asked if she could work remotely, say, just for example, in Vienna, they granted her 2 weeks to do so, which, it should be noted, is generous given that you couldn't find another location on Earth that has a more opposite time zone. This will mean 5 a.m. starts for Holly to allow a crossover window where meetings can occur, after which she'll continue her workday blessedly unbothered by her clients and co-workers, thanks to them all being asleep. For me, it means a fairly epic writing retreat. In fact, part of the trip will see Holly and I part ways. She will head to Rome and more of Italy beyond to meet up with some friends and journey with them, while I'll aim myself at the Alps, where I'll also be joined by my brother to sit in the shadows of the mountains and write. Writing retreat is one of those combinations of words that injects into me a feeling of comfort and joy. The premise alone is spectacular. A few days in a remote location, temporarily cut off from the world at large and the regular responsibilities of everyday life, to fully indulge in a creative endeavour, giving it your complete time and attention. It feels like wish fulfillment, and in many ways, is. Back when I was working a more regular 9-to-5, I generally did my writing in the morning. Thankfully, I can work okay in the mornings, and so would get up at 5:30, get a coffee, enjoy the quiet and dark of a day where you've put the sun to shame by rising before it, and get some writing done. Usually, I would have an hour, maybe a little more, to get some words down before I had to start doing the needful to get ready for work. That little oasis of time was regularly my favourite part of the day, and while it was undoubtedly a positive way to kick the day off, it also inevitably fell into a kind of frustration, because just as I was getting going, I would have to stop. For a writing retreat, there is no stopping. It's falling down the rabbit hole of a project, and for my somewhat obsessive brain, allowing myself to get completely lost within it. To put pieces together, to create problems and then solve them, to get completely swept up in the creative flow, until you then crawl back out the rabbit hole dirty and tired and satisfied. Therein is the key to the whole thing, the flow. The concept of flow as an experience of total engagement in an activity was introduced into psychology by a Hungarian-American psychologist. And I'm going to let Google Translate say their name here because it's one that's outside of my vocabulary with a 16-character surname. They are
Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi.
Thank you, Google. Mihaly initially found examples of the flow when studying physical activities such as sports, where it is now more colloquially known as being in the zone. He also found it was achieved in games such as chess, religious rituals, occupational activities such as surgery, and when creating in the arts. He described the flow experience as the sense of having stepped outside of the routines of everyday life into a different reality, during which a person was able to achieve effortless attention, a merging of action and awareness, a balance between skill and challenge, time distortion, and spontaneity. Along with this, Mihaly also noted other common cognitive pressures were no longer present, so no mind wandering, no fears of failure, and none of the usual self-consciousness of everyday life. In other words, it's no small thing to enter the flow. Another study at Drexel University looked at the brains of jazz players as they improvised in order to better understand how we enter the creative flow. They found that high flow states for these jazz players were associated with increased activity in the brain's auditory and touch areas, and decreased activity in executive control regions, suggesting there is an actual level of reduced consciousness during creative flow. Their study also supported the theory that achieving creative flow requires building experience in a creative field and then training yourself to let go, which enables the brain's specialized circuits to operate autonomously. This letting go is perhaps the hardest part of getting into the flow, as it's a state that seems to require a conscious unconsciousness, a controlled lack of control. For me, when I felt myself swept up in the flow only to resurface however long later, there's been two elements that have helped me achieve this. The first is this type of letting go, mostly around my expectations of what I want the writing to be, or that immediate and consistent evaluation of the work. What helps do this for me is a timer. I like the Pomodoro method, and so 25 minutes is my set time of choice. Hit the timer and just start writing. Let go of all the bullshit, second guessing and questioning, and instead just think of a sentence, write it, think of another sentence, and write that too. It's the same as going for a run. I can torture myself by thinking about going for a run for hours before actually doing so, or I can instead not think about going for a run and just put on my exercise gear and just start running. By the time the timer goes off at that 25-minute mark, if I'm lucky, I can pull back from the flow and be surprised at all the words written there. The second element is time. Time to try again and again to get past all the conscious thoughts and fall into the flow. Which is where a writing retreat comes back in. This trip will see us in Europe for 6 weeks, split between Austria and Italy. Of that time, at least half of it for me will be a dedicated writing retreat across multiple locations, although I expect to write during the whole thing. If anything, I think it'll be hard not to. Travel is a great inspirer. Not only is it easy to take a step back from your phone, your routine, and all the usual trains of thought, but there's also so much new. New places and scenery and people and food and accommodation. So many things to take note of and admire. And importantly, time to do it in. And let me say this, I can't wait to tell you all about it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Stray Thoughts. And if you'd like, you can find me on socials at DamianRob.writer, or feel free to send me an email at DamianRob.writer@gmail.com. And if you've enjoyed this, leave a review, tell your friends, all that good stuff. Otherwise, I look forward to talking to you next time and sharing some more Stray Thoughts. And until then, have yourself a holiday at home. Put the phone away. Go for a walk in an area unfamiliar to you. Take a book to a pub you've never been to before. And if you feel the urge, why not do a bit of writing as well?
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.